Badruddin's walked into this conversation. He's the Mayor Member for Community Services and Health. Zahid, it's good to have you on. What is it about you, me, and walking into interesting conversations? If it isn't the Reverend Chris Nissen, it's one of my listeners. But the main reason we have the Mako Member for Community Services and Health on is to discuss that the city is now going to be fast-tracking its recruitment drive to fill vacancies for healthcare professionals to respond effectively to the COVID-19 crisis. Now, before we get there, I think Roy makes a good point, though. Yeah. You know, if each councillor... Maybe start with this quickly, Zahid, for me. Help me out. What is the role of a councillor?
So I think the point is so important that was made here about the councillor being, apologies, I'm in a meeting that I need to mute quickly. The important point about the councillor is that they remain connected to the needs of the
community.
The need is very apparent and very obvious. Is that about addressing the human right to access to food in whichever way, food parcels, dry ingredients, connecting partners to religious organizations, to other civil organizations that can close the gap.
Yes.
So that's the specific need that Roy has identified here, besides the other requirements when it comes to service delivery. And that goes with saying. But in this particular case, if I can just answer or give some information, if you will, a number of councillors across the city have taken it upon themselves. You know, Councillor McKenzie in Bonteville that has street WhatsApp groups.
Yes.
Each street has a soup kitchen. He connects all of the resources together and he has this immense network that covers the need, the feeding needs of his specific community. Councillor Marita Peterson, Jerry Gordon in the Pelican Park, Lavender Hills area, does the exact same thing.
Brilliant.
I think the important thing here is that each councillor has taken the initiative to do this project in various forms. The mayor also has his feeding scheme through the mayoral fund that he supports. Through the adjustment budget, made available about 20 million rand that kitchen items, dry ingredients, in social development.
Sorry, so hit your phone's breaking up there slightly. You need to chat out to the left. There we go. Okay, so
social development, we're working with relief organizations where we sponsor them to assist with our ECDs to assist those families with food parcels, artists as well who we work with, we've supported, and obviously our shelters where this kind of support is needed. And so it's an important point, and I'm glad I caught on to the last bit of it, because it means that I must take this back into the mayoral committee meeting, which is currently happening, to say perhaps there needs to be more direct guidance to the councillor to say identify your needs, identify who the role players are, and close that gap as quickly as
and
possible.
And track it. I mean, if you digitize it, track it, you have a dashboard, you know what's happening. If you need to get emergency things out to communities, you know that the people on the ground are there. But Zahid, let's quickly, I know you've got to go into the mayoral committee meeting. I don't know if it's a savior for you that we're actually having this interview right now. If you like, I can continue for the next 40 minutes. But I'm never sure how these mayoral committee meetings go. But let's talk about the community services, of course, and health, and the fact that positions are available for doctors, nurses, clinic managers, and the red tape's going to fall.
Yeah. So it's so important for me to mention here that there's been a change in strategy as guided by the Western Cape government, from mass community screening and testings to screenings in all communities and targeted testings. It goes without saying that yesterday we sat at about 17,000 positive cases of COVID-19 in the city alone, with facilities like Groteskier Tigerberg already reaching their capacities in terms of bed spaces. But in our communities and on the ground, the city, through its 104 clinics need to be able to close the gap further, because what is happening is that on the one hand, doctors, nurses, pharmacists have to do their daily service in terms of the patient load that they're seeing, but there's a growing burden of COVID-19 cases that need to be streamlined and need to be worked through and into the system very quickly so that they can access the necessary care. And so we've got about 100 or so positions that we are trying to fill very, very quickly. And we reached out to the community, to the city yesterday to say, here are the vacancies. This is how we can apply. Let us try and close this gap very quickly so that we can make more efficient our treatment process of our residents in the city. Also, obviously, you know that there are a number of unemployed nurses and doctors who are currently volunteering in the system. And so the city is saying, we want to employ you not only for our COVID preparedness plan, but also to deliver additional services when it comes to addressing the comorbidities that can make contracting COVID-19 and healing from COVID-19 so much more difficult. So we're wanting to put in as many human resources into the space so that the needs can, the need and gap can be addressed and covered appropriately.
Okay, now I know you need to go, so I'm not going to be too long, but why has it taken a virus to get the city to do this?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, Kino. And you know that government is a terribly bureaucratic space.
Yep.
And when the when there is a pandemic or an emergency, we also become very good at trying to remove some of those barriers that try and ensure that as a city we remain a clean government and that we remain accountable to ourselves and to the residents as well. And so notwithstanding that fact, we've opened up these spaces, we've decreased the waiting time, the processes to fill these gaps, and we, the fact of the matter here is that it is possible for us to do that, and we're doing that now.
Okay, so where do people go? Do they just go? Because, you know, going through the city's website can also be a bit of a challenge. So how do people apply for these jobs? How do they see where they are?
So the first port of call is the city's website. As you've said, there is, will be a link to take you directly to the application portal where you'll be able to identify the vacancies that can be applied for.
Okay, brilliant. Well, anyway, I'm going to release you to your MACO meeting. What are you guys discussing today, by the way?
At the moment, we're going to, about to go into the health discussion. We will be going into a lot of information about the increasing numbers of fatalities in the city that has been projected and what measures need to be implemented when it comes to transportation of deceased bodies, storage of deceased bodies, and then the ultimate burial or cremation of those bodies. That's one of the most important points on the agenda for me at the moment, which I'm hoping I can still get to.
So, Hitler, we let you go. Thank you so much. You're always so brilliant at being available, even in the middle of MACO meetings. Hey, Zahid Badruddin there. Dr. Badruddin is the MACO member for Community Services and Health. You are listening.